Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in the Detroit area and earned a Bible degree from Bob Jones University. He's been the baseball chapel leader of the Detroit Tigers for the last 20 years, and in 2002 served as a chaplain to the athletes at the Winter Olympics in Salt Lake City. He's the founder and coordinator of Home Plate, an annual event since 1987 at Comerica Park, where athletes share their faith. This year's event will be on May 14th. His name, Jeff Totten. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible with Jack Rasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with the founder and CEO of SCORE Ministries, Jeff Totten. Jeff, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. Joy to be with you.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your parents?
Sure. I grew up here in the Detroit area. My dad was an executive with Ford Motor Company and had a great life growing up. You know, loving parents, siblings, did well in school, played some sports. But probably around 15, 16 years old, just kind of wondered, you know, is this what life's all about? And through that period, God brought some real changes into my life.
What were those changes?
I had a librarian at a public high school who gave me a book to read that talked about the second coming of Christ. And Jack, I knew very little about the first coming. While we were a good family, we never went to church. I didn't own a Bible. And so this was all brand new to me. And I figured if there was a second coming to expect, I better learn something about the first coming. And so through that, I was led to a Bible study with a couple friends. That night, Jack, I went and bought my first Bible, little bookstore at Telegraph and Maple. Walked in, said, I'd like to buy a Bible, please. The lady said, well, which one? You know, versions. I had no clue what she meant. And so I said, the one by God. She kind of chuckled and went and got me a Bible. Had to ask how to find stuff in it that night. But through that evening, Jack, I learned what Christ came to do, who he was, and that he was the Son of God, came 2,000 years ago, gave his life on the cross for my sins and the sins of the world, rose from the dead, as we celebrate on Easter, and receive Christ as my Savior. And that was the beginning of a transformation in my life.
Jeff, what's the biggest things you learned from your mom? What's the biggest things you learned from your dad?
You know, from my mom, she, when I was about 5 years old, we were actually living abroad in Oslo, and she had what amounted to a stroke in her early 30s, left her paralyzed. And so on her left side, partially paralyzed, so she couldn't drive. She was limited in many things she could do. So probably from her, I learned a real perseverance. She lived into her late 60s. And then from my dad, he had left home at the age of 17, joined the Navy back in World War II. And I really learned the value of hard work. While we were blessed growing up in the West Bloomfield area, Bloomfield Hills, he taught me hard work. And so from early teen years, I remember having all sorts of jobs and not just living off the golden spoon, you know, and just really figuring out I've got to get out and work myself.
Let's go back to 1985, and one day you meet a man, Frank Tanana.
Yeah, I was on staff at a church in the area and had heard Frank Tanana come back to play for the Tigers, his hometown team, and I would organize some events with other churches. And so that year I said, I'll take a group down to the Tiger game. And beforehand, maybe we'll see if we get a player to come speak. And so I wrote Frank a letter. He and I met. And that was the first ever home plate that we did in 1987, where Frank came to a banquet hall in Warren, Michigan. We had about 1,100 teenagers there from churches all over the southeastern part of Michigan. And Frank shared about his faith in Christ. Then we took all these teens down to the game that day. And that started home plate. We've done it every year since. Frank's been involved in most every one of them. And the concept has remained the same. Let's get people together. Now it's men, women, boys and girls, all ages. Let's go to a Tiger game. So there's usually some interest in baseball or sports. And we focus on having players share about their faith in Christ.
We'll go into that more as the hour progresses. Jeff Totten, what does sports teach us about life?
You know, the Bible talks about sports, especially in the New Testament. There are several references to it, likening the attributes of an athlete to the Christian and the lessons that we can learn of pursuing a goal, of discipline, of having a rule book you have to follow. And, you know, we've got a rule book in the Bible for life and for eternity. And so I think there's some real great lessons to be learned. We certainly don't exalt sports above Christ, but we try to use sports as a vehicle to share the story of Christ and how he changes the lives of men and women.
You know, the last book, The Apocalypse, some Cubs fans believe that they interpret that if and when we win the World Series again, it is the second coming.
Well, outside of the Tigers, I certainly am rooting for the Cubs. I hope they get there.
Been a tough century. Tough century. You're involved with the Tigers. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. There's a ministry called Baseball Chapel. It allows someone from the area to go into every team, major league and minor league level, even abroad in the Dominican, Venezuela, Puerto Rico, wherever baseball is being played, and lead a chapel service every Sunday morning. So it's been my privilege to do that since 1991, and I go in on a voluntary basis, and we do a chapel service each Sunday.
Through your career, you've met a lot of athletes who are Christ-centered,
mm-hmm.
a lot who aren't. Athletes have to have unbelievable confidence in themselves, which kind of goes against surrendering to God. The ones that do it, how do they stay very confident and surrender at the same time?
Well, I think it's humility to come before Christ and bow at his, you know, person and say, okay, he's blessed me. And when we have that humility, I think the confidence comes from Christ realizing for an athlete, they've been gifted in certain ways. There's a humility that even though I'm gifted, I still have to work. I have to have some discipline in my life. And so I really see for an athlete who follows Christ, they have a greater motivation. You know, there's a saying called an audience of one. And so let's play, let's perform in whatever we do, athlete or not, for Christ first and foremost.
We're talking to Jeff Totten. When we come back, we're going to ask him about a man who was the essence of humility, very close Ernie Harwell. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back with Jeff Totten, who in 2002 served as a chaplain to the athletes in the Olympic Village at the Winter Games in Salt Lake City. Great honor.
It was.
Arguably the most beloved man in the history of Michigan, Ernie Harwell. The play Ernie has just started, you know, that Mitch wrote. You were very close to him. I'd like to state some things that I know about him, and maybe you could respond. His storytelling ability was unbelievable.
Oh, absolutely, especially his memory. Ernie would recall things that, most people would have forgotten, from baseball to personal things about people he met, and just a great storyteller. We always loved having Ernie in our Bible study or in chapel to read the scripture. It just it almost had that Moses-like quality to it when Ernie read it.
Speaking of which, he had a great love for God.
Yeah, I did not meet Ernie until 1988 when he spoke at one of our home plate events. And then he was always so gracious about introducing me to people around the ballpark or other places. But Ernie came to Christ in 1961 down in Bartow, Florida, at spring training when he went to Billy Graham, speaking on an Easter Sunday service down there. And so Ernie's related that many times and became a great follower of Christ and continued to grow right up until the end of his life.
He had a great love for Lulu and his family. That was a real love affair for 60 plus years.
Yeah, absolutely. He always was so loving toward Lulu whenever they were together or when he spoke about her. And I know loves his children. And so Ernie's just a great example in so many areas, Jack.
Lastly, the love for the Michigan people.
Yeah, you heard what he said at his farewell at Comerica Park, that this is where he was going to end his journey here on earth. And he certainly did love Michigan, but Ernie just loved people. He had that great characteristic that Christ had of loving people, caring about people with a real genuine interest.
I had asked him, Jeff, to write his philosophy of life, and this was August 4th, 2001. I'm here on earth to serve God. Because his son Jesus Christ lives in me, I have a purpose. My aim is to do justice, love, mercy, and walk humbly with God. I must trust him with all my heart, soul, and mind, and let him direct my journey. I'm a sinner, but can always depend on him to forgive me and let me live life to the fullest. Ernie Harwell.
Well said. I mean, what else do you add to that? And you even note in that writing several passages from the Bible that he's alluding to. And so Ernie was a man of the word and tried to live that out.
You spent a lot of time with him, especially the last couple of years. Jeff Totten, what's the biggest thing you learned from Ernie Harwell?
I think Ernie just had a great servant's attitude. You know, he was never pretentious. And in different settings, would seek to serve people and meet their needs however best he could. And then probably another thing I remember about Ernie, he always wanted to grow, learn more, was even up in his late years of retirement, was always studying the Bible, seeking to read more and know more of Christ.
He asked you for a book near the end.
One of the last times I saw Ernie, he asked for a biography about the Apostle Paul. Because he wanted to learn more and know more about Paul as he read the scriptures. And Ernie just had that attitude of wanting to keep growing. And I think that's a great lesson for all of us. We're never there yet.
Well, when he got to the Ultimate Championship and he had to do the pregame show with St. Paul, you know, he wanted to know the statistics, etc. So, speaking of which, today's Easter. A lot of people believe that the Ultimate Championship is the next life. Talk about the Ultimate Championship.
Well, Jesus conquered death and sin through his death on the cross and then the resurrection. And so his conquering and power to give us eternal life, that is the ultimate win right there. You know, a lot of people talk today about winning and what that is. Well, winning in the Bible and winning for eternity is knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, putting your faith in him for forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life. And then that brings about that change, that repentance of a new life here on earth and a life then that has the assurance of heaven.
We all have a role in God's master plan. And once in a while, he gives us an Ernie Harwell. Once in a while, he just gives us an episode that can teach us all. And 10 and a half months ago, on June 2nd, 2010, we in this town had one with Armando Galarraga, and the umpire, Jim Joyce. What did that teach you and teach all of us?
Watching that game and seeing that replayed and then hearing the interviews, it was a powerful lesson of grace, of forgiveness, of realizing that, hey, we all do make mistakes. And the key is, how do we respond to them? Are we willing to admit our faults? In the bigger picture of life, I'm not calling what Jim Joyce did a sin, but in the bigger picture of life, are we willing to recognize that we are sinners and then humbly come to Christ? And then Christ, when we come before him in repentance, he offers that forgiveness. And then a relationship can be restored with our Heavenly Father. And so there were some great examples of those truths through that incident, Jack.
It was unbelievable how the Ilitch family presented the Corvette to Galarraga and how Leland had Galarraga the next day bring out, you know, the lineup cards where Joyce was. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, there were a lot of little things that people did that made it a special week or so. And I just applaud them for their sensitivity to this situation.
All right. Let's talk about Home Plate, an annual event since 1987 at Comerica Park where athletes share their faith. And this year's event, Jeff Totten, will be on May 14th. Tell us more.
Yeah, every year we do this event. It's called Home Plate. Our website, homeplatedetroit.org, has history, has all the current year's information. But on that Saturday, Jack, church groups and other groups and individuals from around the area are invited to come to Comerica Park. You need to purchase a ticket in advance. And the gates open at 11 just for our group. And then our program starts at 12:30. And some of the current players, some former players, will all come out and talk about their careers in sports and their faith in Christ. So guys like Donnie Kelly, Willie Horton, Ramon Santiago, Frank Tanana, and even one of the Detroit Lions this year, the punter, Nick Harris, will be involved with us. And so we'll have anywhere from 5, 6, 7 guys that come out and talk about those things, their faith in Christ, their career in sports. And then following the program, the Tigers that day are doing a baseball clinic. So there'll be stations set up around the stadium where players and coaches will talk about hitting, pitching, fielding, and all those at our event get to go sit and hear, and sometimes they get to ask questions. And then following that, we stay for the game. And so we'll have about 6,000, 7,000 people at that event.
May 14th, www.homeplatedetroit.org. If there's a mom or a wife listening on this Easter evening saying, wow, I've got to get my family to go to that, my son, my dad, my husband, how can she make that happen? How can she convince them to go?
You know, I'd go to the website, and they can actually watch some video clips from past events. They can see some of the photos and pictures. You buy your tickets through the order form there on the website. But it's a fun day at the ballpark. And so many times, you know, that's a great way to invite people to come. Hey, let's go to a Tiger game. Let's do something different at the game. You're going to hear players talk about their lives and their faith a little bit. And so that's a great way to invite folks to come.
You and Carla and your family, this has been a mission since 87 for you. What's the biggest thing you've learned from all of these Home Plate events?
You know, I think, Jack, watching athletes who don't have to do this come out with a humility and share their stories and their faith and kind of be open and transparent is really a wonderful part of it for me. The players, of course, get invited to go many different places to do things at churches and so forth. It's pretty hard during the season and that schedule. And so a lot of the guys view this event right at the ballpark as their way to help give back to the community, especially the faith community, in sharing their story. And so instead of going to 200 churches, 200 plus churches will come to the ballpark for this event.
We're talking to Jeff Totten, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Rasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back with Jeff Totten, who also formed in 2000 SCORE Ministries, sharing Christ through outreaches, resources, and encouragement. Jeff, tell us about SCORE Ministries.
Sure. In 2000, Jack, I was on staff at a church and doing a number of different things and left that position at that church. And so we formed SCORE to kind of umbrella under that my work with Baseball Chapel, the Home Plate events, and then have the opportunity to expand into some other areas. And so now we have an outreach ministry for coaches at the high school and college levels that we hold an annual weekend conference for called Coaches Time Out. And then do some other things, like you mentioned, the chaplaincy at the Olympics, where I was one of 32 volunteer chaplains. And then I do a lot of speaking in churches and other organizations as well.
In Lansing, on July 15th to 17th, you have this year's, and you can go to www.coachestimeout.org. Who should go to that, and what does that include?
Yeah, what we do is any single or married coach is invited to come, someone who coaches at the high school or college level. And if you're married, we want you to bring your spouse. We have scholarship funding. And for a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we gather all these coaches together with their spouses, coach from any sport, and we open up the Word of God with them. We have some worship, and we really teach to share with them how they can live out their faith in their coaching environment, how to build relationships that are positive with their family, their husband, their wife, their kids, their players, parents of players, other coaches, and really give them practical things. It is from a faith-based perspective, a biblical perspective, on how to be more successful in what they do in coaching and then living their life here on earth.
Jeff Totten, if you will, talk about the role high school and college coaches play in young people's lives.
Jack, you know, it's huge. If I asked you who won the MVP of the American League in 1973, I don't remember and you don't either. But I bet you and I can both remember a coach or a teacher that impacted our life early on, and probably more than one. And so coaches have a huge impact on the next generation. And so what we want to do is give back to coaches on this weekend, build into their lives, kind of honor them and bless them. And that's why we give them a great scholarship fund, funding for it, so they don't have to pay the full amount that it would cost for a couple nights at the Radisson in Lansing, all their meals, kind of a getaway during the summer before the school year kicks up, and kind of help them recharge spiritually for the year ahead in coaching, and if they're a teacher or whatever else they may be doing.
It's very obvious you're very comfortable and happy talking to athletes, coaches, men, families about God. A lot of men can't do that. You know, they've never shared anything regarding prayer or God with another human being, especially other men. Talk to us about men, brothers, praying together.
Praying together and talking to God and then sharing our faith, talking to others about God, are both important, Jack, and both taught in Scripture. I like the passage in Peter, 1 Peter 3, where in verse 15 it says, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord." So we have to start there, and that is referring some to the prayer part of acknowledging Him. But then it goes on to say, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. And so whether it's in the home plate environment or one-on-one with somebody or in the coach's timeout event, you know, there's a humility, there's a gentleness, but there's also a boldness that Christ tells us to have in approaching Him in prayer and then approaching others to talk about Him.
What's the difference, Jeff Totten, between saying prayers and praying?
I think Jesus said, don't just have a repetition of words. We all can say religious words, but God knows our hearts. And that the verse that we just talked about, in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. So it has to start there, Jack, the heart of prayer, before you have the words of prayer.
The holidays are a great time of great joy or great sorrow and emptiness. If there's a listener this evening who's really down in the dumps, full of sorrow, has never opened a Bible, what would you say to that person this evening?
I would first tell them God loves you. You know, God created you, and God knows every thought and sorrow and desire of your heart. And I remember learning that for the first time, Jack, at 16, that God knew me, God loved me, and that God did indeed have a plan for my life. And that's true for everyone. So I would start there. And then I would tell someone who's never really opened up the Bible or searched the Scriptures to open it up. A wonderful place to start would be the Gospel of John. And you may not understand everything right away, but ask God to speak to you through the Word of God and start there. Read a chapter a day or so, or as much as you like. And then probably find someone who can help explain some of the Bible to you. I needed that. You know, when I went into that bookstore and bought that Bible and went to that study, I was asking question after question. And Jack, I'm still asking questions today. And so we need to get someone alongside of us many times who can help us understand some of the truths of God's Word.
If there's a husband or a wife, a mom or a dad tonight saying, we've never prayed as a family, Jeff, how do I start to get my family to pray together?
You know, I would encourage you to look at a place in the Bible, John chapter 17. And there is Jesus praying the night before he was crucified. So like for us here on Easter, looking back to last Thursday, Jesus prays with his disciples. And in that chapter, you'll find all the things he prays about. He prays for unity. He prays for protection. He prays for holy living. And if you want some things to start praying about, that would be a wonderful place. Of course, along with the Lord's Prayer, both of those would be great places to start.
Mel Gibson's The Passion. When you watched that, what did you come away with?
Well, you certainly see the pain that Christ went through physically, and as best as could be depicted, the pain of being separated and taking on the punishment of sin for the world. That's harder to depict on film, isn't it? But that's what Christ went through for us. So not just the physical pain, but he went through that separation. Those who don't know Christ will experience in hell. And he went through that, the Father, you know, turning his back on his Son. And so that can't be depicted on film readily. And we need to understand Christ went through that for us so that we might have our sin forgiven.
I walked away, I remember, thinking, even though we were beating the living everything out of him, he was still, you know, forgiven us, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Still that total, unconditional love just screamed out.
It sure did, Jack, and he was not focused on his own needs or desires. He was focused on the needs of the world, and that was someone who could pay the penalty for sin on our behalf.
The other thing I saw was his mom, you know, and just what she went through and that sorrow, the open heart. What would you say to a mom tonight who's got unbelievable issues with the husband, with one of the kids?
You know, God's there. God is our Heavenly Father. He knows that we are but dust. He knows how fragile we are. And he has a great tenderness and compassion, as you saw Christ did for people in that film. And sometimes we don't feel that, you know, we don't sense it all the time. We all have been there through trials and things and sorrows. But to take our sorrows to Christ, and just he wants us to open our hearts up to him. And so I would tell someone to start there, Jack. The Word of God and prayer are going to provide comfort and help sustain us through those difficult times.
We're talking to Jeff Totten, who's a terrific salesman for God. And I'm Jack Rasulin. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Jeff Totten, the coordinator and founder of Home Plate, an annual event since 1987 at Comerica Park, where athletes share their faith. And this year's event will be on May 14th. Jeff, you are a salesman, and you've been selling God. What's the basic message or thing you've been selling?
Well, I would probably change the word salesman to ambassador. Yeah, that's a Bible word where Jesus tells us we're ambassadors. And
plus it's unpaid, right?
And we get to give it away for free. And that really is the essence, Jack, of the gospel. It's a gospel of grace. It is. It cost Christ everything. It cost him his life. It cost him all that he went through on the cross. But he then gives to us salvation by grace. And we can't earn it. It is a gift. And so that's simply what we present, is what Christ presented, that through him one can have a relationship with God through grace. Not by works, so that none of us can boast about it, but by the work he did on the cross. And so that's what I seek to do, is through my own life, my words, or those that work with us in a home plate or coach's timeout or other settings, let them share the story of the free gift they received in Christ.
If there's a listener tonight that says, wow, I wish my teenager or younger adult was listening to this man, because he has no relationship with God, he or she. Jeff Totten, how can a parent help a child get a relationship with God?
You know, Jack, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So that hasn't changed. We may package it differently through a sporting event or through a play or you mentioned a movie or something, and that's fine. But it's got to be the Word of God that we share. And so I would encourage them to get to where the Bible can be opened and someone can hear the Word of God. At our website for Home Plate, there are video clips of guys speaking, professional athletes, talking about their faith. There's a great one of Frank Tanana sharing the gospel over two segments, about 19 minutes. There's a little link on our website that says, "Let me give you something." And it's a thing that opens up where you can read about how to know Christ as your Savior. So it's got to get back, Jack, to the Word of God, because that's how faith comes. It's through the hearing and reading of God's Word.
A mutual friend, Ron Wilson, when he was here, he talked about the 13 hotels that they manage, and they have no pornographic channels in those hotels, which is a huge moneymaker. Pornography, Jeff Totten, is an epidemic in this world. What do you say to somebody who says, "I'm addicted, I'm powerless to do anything"?
Jack, you know, it starts again with that freedom from sin, the penalty of sin, and then we the power of sin that Christ provided on the cross. So it really has to start, do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you starting there? Now, in this lifetime, just because we know Christ is our Savior doesn't mean we still don't have temptations and trials, and we may fall at times. So there has to be some accountability. And there are some wonderful media tools out now to provide accountability on what someone does on their computer. Guys, I know, go into hotels where some of that's offered. You can have it turned off. And a couple guys will get together and say, "Did you turn yours off? Did you turn yours off?" And then just have another man who you can go to and say, "Hey, how you doing in this area?" And there's an openness and an honesty. So after knowing Christ, I would say we all need some accountability in our lives to some of the disciplines of living for Christ and avoiding some of those temptations.
Jeff Totten, what does Easter mean to you?
It's the resurrection, Jack. It's Christ is conquered, Christ is won, and it's not a win I could have gotten on my own, but only through knowing Christ as my Savior do I have that forgiveness of sin and the power for a changed life here on earth, not a perfect one, but a changed one, to be more like Christ, and then ultimately a home in heaven where we'll live with Him forever.
This has been a blessing to do this for 6 years. One of the many things I've learned is that the people that have truly surrendered to God have a phenomenal inner peace. That doesn't mean they don't have issues. That doesn't mean they don't get the short end of the stick. But there is an inner peace. Why is that, Jeff Totten?
I think it comes a lot through contentment and also realizing that God is in control. You know, the Bible talks about that peace that passes understanding and letting peace rule in your hearts. Well, in that passage in Colossians, it goes right on then to talk about letting the Word of God dwell in you richly. And so I know in my own life, the times where I'm more at peace and content, I'm in a daily relationship in God's Word with Him. I'm understanding His perspective on things, and that is what provides the peace for me. It's not self-generated, but it is God-generated into my life.
We're in unprecedented times. A lot of people are upside down economically, marriage-wise, etc. You know, their world has come apart. And nobody seems to have the answers. The politicians, business people, whatever. There's a person that I really admire that says about 10 times a day, "I can't, you can, please do." What does that mean to you?
I think it goes right back to everything we've been saying, Jack. You know, Christ is the only one that can do what He did on the cross, and He is the only one that can give me the power I need to live my life in a way that's pleasing to Him, and I think gives that peace and contentment. You're absolutely right, Jack. We're all going to face trials. We all do right now, and we can't solve them all. But we certainly know the one that ultimately will solve it all and bring His answers into this world. And the more we're connected to Him now, I think the greater perspective we have from his viewpoint for life and the greater peace and contentment we have.
What are your dreams going forward, Jeff Tutton?
You know, I want to be faithful to the end. And, you know, I want to serve Christ till either he comes back or I leave this life. And I want to do that with my wife, Carla, my kids. I want to see them as they develop their own lives and families do the same. And so I would say faithfulness, Jack. You know, the Bible says it's required in a servant that he be found faithful. And again, not perfect. There are times where I certainly slip. But to have that faithfulness to realize how good God is and to serve him till the end of my life.
As our time winds down this evening, Jeff Tutton, could you please lead us in a closing prayer?
I'd be honored to, Jack. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you today thanking you for how much you love us, you know us, and you care about us. And so for each one of us here and listening today, we know that there's nothing hidden from you. And on this day, as we celebrate what Jesus did on the cross, and then how he rose from the dead victorious over sin and over death, and today he is seated at your right hand, one day to return to planet Earth. Father, I pray that we each might come before you humbly, recognizing who you are, exalting your Son Christ as you exalted him. And if we've not come to the place of acknowledging him as Savior and Lord, may we do that today, turning from our sin and trusting in Christ for salvation. Father, we pray for this area of Detroit, of Michigan, and beyond, that we would be a people who humble ourselves, turn back to you, and see your blessing in many ways upon our lives. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Jeff Tutton, what a great example of courage as an ambassador for God. Keep it up.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.